Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Man, talk about your all-time backfires. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. And before we go anywhere else, you heard it off the top there. Chris Canty and the rest of our show staff can bear witness. I am many things. I am sometimes an idiot. I am a former football player. I am the current host of this show. But I am also a man of my word. And coming up later on in this show, as you heard off the top, Chris, I have got, there's no better way to say this, a jar full of dead crickets and a jar full of mayonnaise sitting on the counter in my parents' kitchen. They have to be very confused, but you're going to get what you're looking for.
Hell no.
Well, I appreciate you paying off the bet. You're an honorable man. The fact that you're willing to go to such lengths to honor your word, that's pretty impressive. Now, the only question I got is, how hard was it to find the crickets, and what variety of mayonnaise are you going to roll with for this particular payoff?
Say, listen, you know it's Dukes all day, every day. We're out
okay,
here.
There you go. You know, there listen, you go.
We got to be loyal to the soil, to the people that have taken care of us. But I will say, the journey to find crickets, because as you heard off the top, I inexplicably decided to tie my fate to this Philadelphia Eagles team for reasons that are going to baffle me till the day I die. I ended up having to go to Petco to try and find these crickets. I was in the reptile section of an animal food store, and Chris, I promise you, I did not have the guts to look at the lady when I was checking out and ask her, are these safe for human consumption? I don't know if they do them up differently for the lizards and reptiles that are going to eat them, but we're going to find out here. These things are freeze-dried and ready to party, so I have a feeling I'm going to like this a little more than I should, which is about par for the course.
Well, I mean, listen, you're doing it for the story, right? Like, you get to talk about the time that you decided to bet against Tom Brady with the upstart Philadelphia Eagles, starting a quarterback that was making his playoff debut. Like, you can talk about it. Like, this is a story that's going to live on forever. Now, it's going to live in the Hall of Shame as far as the stories that you have to tell. But nonetheless, it'll still be highly entertaining. And, you know, we're always willing to do things that entertain our audience. So here at Canty and Golic Jr., we like to stand behind the things that we say and the bets that we make. And now this is an opportunity for you to pay it off. So good on you.
And listen, if parents of young kids are listening right now, kids, this is a reminder. There are consequences for your actions here, and you better be ready to pay up when they come calling. So we'll get to plenty more of that as we go along. I will give you guys plenty of fair warning of when I'm going to lather this little cricket up in mayonnaise and get this thing going. In the meantime, Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, because we've now, I think, put a pretty good bow on the Super Wild Card weekend in the NFL and what we saw there. But as we get ready to meet a couple of the teams that are going to join us on the party this weekend in our 2-1 seeds, the Tennessee Titans and the Green Bay Packers, I think there's an interesting look at both of them, Chris, that's kind of encapsulated by this. When I look ahead now at what we're getting ready to start this weekend and the rest of the postseason in earnest, I'd have a hard time finding a player who's got more to gain through the rest of this postseason than Aaron Rodgers. Like, this isn't just based on what we've seen all year long from Aaron Rodgers, the quotes that we've seen, his public dishonesty around COVID-19 and his vaccination status. This, to me, is about something you brought up a while ago on this show. What a second Lombardi would mean for this player. In conjunction with what seems like it could be a back-to-back MVP award for Aaron Rodgers in the regular season, if he's able to go and cap this off at the top, Chris, he enters some pretty rarefied air for quarterback conversations that really, right, wrong, or indifferent, have your stamp at the door based on that second Lombardi trophy. So it feels like while they're in pole position, they're back again with one of the best teams in the NFC. Aaron Rodgers really is in a unique spot right now to change the way we talk about him for the better for once.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And when you start having that GOAT conversation, it's about multiple championships. If you don't have multiple championships, you're not allowed to enter the room. That's just how it is. You're not going to be in that territory with Tom Brady, Joe Montana, and John Elway, Peyton Manning. You're just not. The MVPs are great. The regular season accolades are great. The physical attributes are outstanding for Aaron Rodgers. He has all of those things working for him. But until he gets that second championship, people are going to question the level of his greatness, especially when it comes to postseason play, being at your best when your best is required. I saw some numbers on SportsCenter today that I just couldn't believe, Gojo, when it comes to Aaron Rodgers coming off of a bye. I don't know why I didn't believe him, because I actually experienced it back in 2011 when they were the one seed and we were rolling in after smoking the Falcons, and we ran roughshod over the Green Bay Packers. The game was over at halftime, but I digress. All I'm saying is, for all of the physical abilities that Aaron Rodgers has, to be 1-3 in conference championship games and to have only been to the big game once is a little bit of a head-scratcher if he's supposed to be that bad man that everybody talks about. A guy from a physical talent standpoint has all the tools in his toolbox. If he's as great as we're saying he is, then why the hell has he only been to one Super Bowl? That is going to have to be the question that Aaron Rodgers at some point is going to have to answer if he wants to be in the conversation for that greatest of all time. I know he's a surefire Hall of Famer, yeah. First ballot, all of those great things. And so putting on the gold jacket ends the conversation, so to speak, in a lot of regards. But still, when we talk about the pantheon of the greatest quarterbacks, if he wants to be included in that group, then he has to win another championship. Otherwise, he's going to be in that other annex in Canton in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Chris, because, I mean, realistically, when we talk about the top quarterbacks of all time, it's almost impossible with Tom Brady's level of postseason accomplishment to really put anyone in his sphere, right? And I've heard people for years do the things where they say, well, it's best versus most accomplished. It's the GOAT versus the boat, the greatest of all time versus the best of all time. I'm not really interested in that. Let's have one conversation and admit that Tom Brady is probably at a place that is too far out in front to catch at this point now. But everything we're saying about Aaron Rodgers in this situation, Chris, how similar does this sound to you to the conversations we had about Peyton Manning for years before he was able to cap things off with that second Super Bowl in Denver, albeit in the circumstances it came around? Peyton Manning had the dubious distinction of having to see Tom Brady so many times in the AFC postseason back in the day. Aaron Rodgers hadn't necessarily had to do that, but how similar do you think the case was for the two quarterbacks before, you know, we got that second bit of hardware in for Peyton Manning?
I don't know how close it was, because we were having conversations about Peyton Manning being the best regular season quarterback that we had ever seen. And it was just a matter of him being able to have that translate into postseason success. And once he was able to exercise those demons that were named the New England Patriots and get past that hurdle and win his first Super Bowl in 2006, I think we looked at him in a different light. And then the fact that he was able to go to Denver and do it with a different franchise, albeit it looking a lot different in terms of the composition of the team, people still give him credit for changing the culture when he arrived in 2013, and that laying the groundwork for what the Broncos would become in 2015. So as far as Aaron Rodgers is concerned, like, to have the opportunity to be able to do that, noticing all of the great teams that he's consistently been around, double-digit winners, continuing to win the NFC North, if he's not able to somehow, some way get past that and actually get back to another Super Bowl, again, I think it's going to leave people with more questions about how great he truly was. And I think that's all fair. That's all on the table.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. All right, Chris, if I'm going for Aaron Rodgers, is there even a case for someone else? We've seen Matthew Stafford's name thrown around a lot this season for player who's got the most to gain right now. Is there somebody I'm missing in all this?
Yeah, I think we got to talk about Josh Allen, too. Like, he has to be in this conversation for most to gain. I mean, the way people look at Josh Allen, essentially he's just a footnote to Pat Mahomes' greatness. And at some point, something about that has to change. Now, they were able to go into Arrowhead and win early in the regular season. I want to say it was week 5 when they beat him 38-20. It was a blowout in a primetime game. But prior to that, Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs have had Josh Allen's number. So it's just going to be a matter of, can Josh Allen deliver when it matters the most? When we have the conversations about the best young quarterbacks in the AFC, people talk about Pat Mahomes. People talk about Justin Herbert. Joe Burrow's name is now being thrown in that mix. I think people forget about Josh Allen. And the fact that he's got consecutive AFC East titles, that's all well and good. But at some point, he's going to have to do some high-level winning, and it's going to have to eventually go through the Kansas City Chiefs. He's got to beat them. It's similar to that conversation we had about Peyton Manning being able to beat Bill Belichick in the postseason. Like, at some point, that has to happen in order for us to buy into how truly great he was. The Buffalo Bills, as an organization, they took care of his money, his contract extension. They gave him $250,000. Go, Joe. These are the games that you're asking your quarter billion dollar quarterback to deliver on. $250 million quarterback. These are the games that you're asking them to deliver on, right? Like, you pay a guy $250 million, you need him to deliver in this spot against Kansas City. They're coming in there with the better defense. I mean, when you start talking about that unit on that side of the ball supporting Josh Allen. I just think this is the spot he's got to step up. And with Josh Allen, you just don't know from game to game what you're going to get. Like, a part of going from good to great is the consistency factor. And maybe that's why a lot of people don't put him in the upper echelon of young quarterbacks in the AFC or even around the NFL because of the inconsistency. Last week in the wild card round, we saw Josh Allen have the highest passer rating of any quarterback in any game in the 2021 season, period, point blank. Like the upside on that Josh Allen, what he's capable of, the arm talent, the physical ability, his ability as a runner. There is nothing from a tool standpoint that Josh Allen can't do at the quarterback position on a football field. Nothing. The only problem with that is, Gojo, Josh Allen is also responsible for the second worst passer rating that we've seen from any quarterback in any game all season long. The worst was Cam Newton, and that guy was on the street for half the season. So that just goes to show you the variance that you get with Josh Allen, and at some point, he's going to have to be more consistent in order for people to buy into how good he can potentially be. If you want to crack that conversation of being an elite quarterback, being in somebody's top five, then these are the games that you have to go out there and win, and that's why I think he's got a lot to gain this postseason as well.
888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. We want to hear from you on the hotline. Who does have the most to gain? Player, coach, organization, whoever you want. Who has the most to gain in this 2022 postseason now that we're going to get the full complement of teams involved coming into the divisional round in all of this? Because I'm with you. The Josh Allen conversation is fascinating. Do you go from great story about an organization betting on your ability to grow in a way we've never seen a quarterback be able to improve when it comes to accuracy and the like, to all of a sudden a conversation with the greats in your class here the way you talked about? Let's go to Daniel in Nebraska. Daniel, you're on Canty and Golic Jr. Who's got the most to gain?
Patrick Mahomes. And the reason why I say that is because he's the only quarterback I see right now that has the realm of possibility at ever even coming close to Tom Brady, which also means that he can't wait. Josh Allen, even Aaron Rodgers, if they win a Super Bowl this year or next year, it's the same thing. They're still, you know, going to be in the same position. But Patrick Mahomes, if he really wants to catch Tom Brady, he can't take no years off. He's got to keep getting it done while he can.
It's a fair point about the upside of all of this when we talk about who's capable of what in these GOAT conversations, because, Chris, that has been what we've sort of stamped Patrick Mahomes with since he got that first MVP, since he was able to win a Super Bowl in what, his second season as a starter. So all these things are possible because of the timeline and, as you talked about, a half a billion dollar investment in this player.
Yeah, but that's a next to impossible task or standard that you're setting out there for Pat Mahomes, the fact that he's got to catch Tom Brady. Like, the likelihood that he's going to play until his mid-40s, not even his early 40s, Gojo. At this point, we're talking about Brady being in his mid-40s. In today's NFL, I don't see that happening. I get it, the quarterback protections and all of those different things, but you have to have so much continuity within your organization with your head coach, with the skill position players around you, the offensive line, the defense supporting you. I just think it's a next to impossible task to be able to keep the requisite pieces in place to allow Pat Mahomes to compete at that high of a level for the better part of the next two decades. I don't see that happening. Is it possible? Sure.
Well, and I think that's why, Chris.
It's like, highly unlikely, though.
He's the only one that we can have that kind of hope with. And to your point, maybe Josh Allen, if he gets over the hump this year, you can start to hope just because of the ability. But I think everything you just mentioned, like, all of the things organizationally that we've talked about with Patrick Mahomes, with Veach, with Andy Reid in that organization, it seems stable enough to at least fantasize about this. And hell, Chris, like, in our lifetime, going out to another sport, we never thought, I'm sure, when I was growing up as a kid, when you were like, you know, when you were in high school and college, that we were going to get someone to ever realistically challenge what Michael Jordan had done. And then LeBron James came along, and all of a sudden, we got to wonder about these things. We got to have those conversations. Pat Mahomes is the only one that could potentially give us that in football, because what Tom Brady has done, and I got a stat for you guys. We'll do top five, bottom five today on Canty and Golic Jr., and I found one of those Tom Brady postseason stats that reminds you just how far ahead of the pack he is in all of this. But Chris, I think that's why people are going to put an outsized amount of pressure on Pat Mahomes, is he did it so easily, it seemed, so early, that now we're projecting out and say, maybe you can be the one to give us what we want in all this.
But here's the thing, Gojo. When Pat Mahomes got to the Kansas City Chiefs, Andy Reid was, what, 60 years old?
Yep.
I mean, when Tom Brady got to the New England Patriots, Bill Belichick was 48. So there's a big difference in terms of the consistency and the longevity that your coach is going to be able to have in giving you a window to compete for championships. Now, I'm not saying that there couldn't be another coach that steps in, Andy Reid handing the reins to somebody else that's on his staff, a longtime assistant, and they keep it moving. I'm not saying that's next to impossible. But to ask Andy Reid to be the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs for the next 15 years, I think that's highly unlikely. So that's why I look at it and say, to try to compare any of these guys to Tom Brady and seeing if they can come close to what Brady has been able to do with seven championships over 21 seasons, I just think Brady's going to be the outlier. That's just going to be what it is. And I think we're all looking at who's the next closest guy to Tom Brady. And I think there's a bunch of other quarterbacks that could be jumbled up in that conversation. Pat Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers in this postseason, when we were talking about that. But I think those guys have the best chance of being the next in line after Tom Brady when we have that GOAT talk when we get to the end of their careers.
Listen, if Andy Reid keeps likening Super Bowls to chocolate cake, that man is never going to quit this game, all right? I know that man loves dessert too damn much to quit on this anytime soon. You saw that glimmer in Big Red's eyes when he started talking about that. Let's get to one more here. 888-SAY-ESPN. Who's got the most to gain this postseason? Let's go to Keith in Arizona. Keith, you're on Canty and Golic Jr. here. Who you got?
I'm going to tell you, and then I'm going to give you a quick prediction I hope happens. But Jimmy G is playing for his future. And I know it's not all the stats and trying to your place in the Hall of Fame, but this man's, his livelihood is on the line of, if he's not a Niner, where's he going to go? What's he going to be worth? That's a big deal. And I'm predicting Super Bowl. I would love to see a smash mouth Super Bowl between the Tennessee Titans and the San Francisco 49ers.
Listen, that would certainly, for running back,
you might
and
be the only one. You might be
everywhere.
The only one wants to see that Super Bowl, though.
You know, man, Chris, I tell you what,
you might be the only one.
I think people might take the Niners, but the other side of that one, that's the conversation we can have coming up next year. Keep hitting us up, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The player, coach, organization who's got the most to gain this 2022 postseason as we really get started with this. The one seed's going off this weekend. But coming up next, let's get to that. Why are we all already so out on the Tennessee Titans? The stats about what could be one of the statistically worst one seeds and why we live to doubt them. We'll get to that after this word from Vivid Seats. Now, guys, with the Safe Return to Live events, you can actually be there to catch all the action in person with Vivid Seats. That's right, every alley-oop slam, every one-timer, every sideline grab can all be experienced live. And with Vivid Seats rewards, you can earn rewards like free tickets. All you got to do, collect stamps, redeem, repeat. It is that easy. From upper level to courtside, Vivid Seats has you covered for all the events that matter to you. So, grab your tickets today and cheer on your favorite team from the stands. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Life happens live. Why didn't anybody want to tighten up? Next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
For me, John Robinson, their GM's the executive of the year. Mike Vrabel is clearly coach of the year. They've had a remarkable year.
I think they match up really well with the Bengals. Christian Fulton went against Jamar Chase every day at LSU. Jack Rabbit Jenkins, a feisty little corner. So I think that's a really good matchup. Joe Burrow gets sacked a lot.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your car, home, motorcycle, commercial auto, and more. All your protection right in one place. Bundle and save at progressive.com. It's Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. And everything you heard just coming back there, Mike comprised the entirety of the nice thing said about the Tennessee Titans on ESPN's airwaves. Because, Chris, I don't know what it is about this team. The Tennessee Titans are the one seed in the AFC. You and I both said Mike Vrabel would be our absolute nod for coach of the year in the NFL based on what he's done this year. And yet all I have seen in the lead up to this, whether it's been articles from great folks like our friend Aaron Schatz over at Football Outsiders, ESPN's FPI, the Football Power Index, is that this is statistically one of the worst one seeds in NFL history. So what is it about this Titans team that has made them so doubtable to the rest of us?
Well, I think it has to do with their path to victory each and every game, right? Regardless of who the opponent is, it's a very specific formula that the Titans are relying on in order to win football games. That includes being able to dominate the line of scrimmage on offense with the run game and then take advantage of favorable looks and opportunities for chunk plays via play action. And then on defense, it's about their defensive front four being able to rush the passer and mitigate any deficiencies that they have on the back end, because a lot of those guys in their secondary are suspect. And then also asking for a little bit of fortune, a little bit of luck when it comes to special teams and that third phase of the game where some hidden yards could be found. I think that's a very specific formula for any playoff team to have to win by. And the fact that there's not a lot of versatility in how they can attack you, I think is why a lot of people are down on them. When you look at some of the other teams that we look at as true contenders, whether it be the Kansas City Chiefs or the Buffalo Bills or the Green Bay Packers, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, it feels like they're more multiple in terms of what they do offensively. They have more ways that they can beat you. With the Tennessee Titans, if they're not able to establish the run early on, if they can't dictate the complexion of the game, then it's going to be a hard time for them being able to find a way to win. So I think that's why a lot of folks are down on them, just because they don't have that versatility that some of the other teams that are true title contenders, or who we view as true title contenders, bring to the table.
Well, yeah, and I mean, they have the unfortunate distinction of living in an AFC where we have got a reinvigorated Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen fresh off going full Hulk smash in the wild card round against the Patriots, right? Like, that seems to be what this comes down to, is everything you just mentioned. Absolutely. Styles make fights, and the modern NFL has been dominated by teams that look and feel a lot more like Kansas City, like Buffalo, like what we've seen Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Bucks do this year in the NFC. Aaron Rodgers, you can on and on down the list, but having not only a dynamic quarterback, but the ability to flex between those identities, which makes it interesting, because for all the conversation that we're going to have about the Titans now coming back here, what they're capable of, because listen, going up against Cincinnati, that is absolutely a winnable game for the Tennessee Titans based on some of the weaknesses we've seen for Cincinnati up front along the lines of scrimmage. It's the one that comes after that. We're going to hear a lot about Derrick Henry coming back. We're going to hear a lot about all that, but Chris, for a team that's identity is built on running, I thought Aaron Schatz from Football Outsiders made a great point. Some of the inexplicably bad losses that we saw this year by them, the Jets, the Texans, those things that popped up out of nowhere, came in games where you were down A.J. Brown and Julio Jones, not Derrick Henry. They've gotten good production out of Donta Foreman down the stretch of the season. So I think it's what we saw going back to when they upset the Baltimore Ravens a couple years ago in the postseason. This has got to be a team that can get their big-bodied receivers open downfield and get the game script in their favor early. And that's a lot harder than saying, yeah, we got a quarterback that can just go out there and win it for us.
No doubt. But the one thing that the Titans have as a feather in their cap is their overall physicality as a team. You look at any position. You just mentioned the wideouts. You look at the running backs. You look at the offensive line. You look at the defensive front. They play a physical brand of football. Even the guys in the secondary led by Kevin Byard, that is a physical brand of football. And in the postseason, you usually have success playing that way. So that's why I'm not quick to dismiss the Tennessee Titans as some other people might be. I think it's going to be a hell of a game between them and the Cincinnati Bengals. But when you look at the AFC playoff field that's remaining and you look at the quarterbacks, you would probably have Ryan Tannehill as the last quarterback if you were making a draft. And so I think that's where the concern about the Titans comes into play, because if you're talking about a team that has to play from behind from a double-digit deficit, there's not a whole lot of confidence that Ryan Tannehill is going to throw them back into a lot of games, even with A.J. Brown and Julio Jones. So that's the one concern that I do have with them. Now, when all three of those guys are in the lineup, the five games that they played, that Tennessee Titans offense is potent, man. There is a huge difference in terms of what they're able to accomplish. In terms of yards per play, it's 7 yards per play when all three of those guys are in the lineup, as opposed to 4.9 with any of the three off the field. 9.4 yards per attempt when they're throwing the ball with all three in the lineup, as opposed to 6.7 with any of the three off the field. And then yards per rush, 5.6 yards per carry with all three of those guys on the field, as opposed to 4.2 with any of them off the field. So there's a stark contrast in terms of what that Titans offense looks like and the success that they're able to have on a per-play basis with all three of them in the lineup as opposed to those guys not being. So if Derrick Henry is able to come back and be some semblance of what we saw in the first half of this season, then it's probably going to be tough sledding for the Cincinnati Bengals in this divisional round matchup.
Yeah, Chris, I completely agree. I think what you mentioned, too, about their passing numbers with all three on the field, that has consistently set up what their run game is able to be. Derrick Henry is no doubt a difference maker, but man, when you have got to respect what they do down the field. And like you said, they can establish that physically better than most. The remnants of Arthur Smith from his offense last year to what they do this year, there are still some of the bones there on all of this. But a lot of people are going to point to Derrick Henry, who has missed the majority of the season with the foot injury suffered about halfway through. Teron Davenport, our ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, joined Spain and Fitz last night and talked about what he actually expects when the Titans star running back returns for this game.
Well, I don't expect him to be the same type of Derrick Henry that he was before the injury, at least not in this first game. But still, just having him in that lineup, it does a lot for that offense as a whole. And when you look at the passing game, I mean, obviously, initially as a linebacker, you're looking at what the offensive line is doing. They're going to be your first read. But when you have a guy like 22 in the backfield, the linebackers are going to commit a little bit more to the run just because of what he brings. And I think when you look at that, that's an uplifting part of the whole picture. Again, I don't think he's going to be the same type of home run hitter. But, I mean, we're talking about a guy who I call a Martian, right? And I'm not sure that he's from here, this planet. Mm-hmm. So you never know what it is that he's going to bring to the table. And, I mean, I've seen him do things abnormal before.
Kanny and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Kanny.
I know what he's bringing to the table.
Yes.
I know exactly what he's bringing to the table. It ain't no question about my mind what he's bringing to the table. Gojo, even if he can't cut, if he's running straight downhill, he is a bowling ball of knives that nobody on that Bengals defense wants to tackle. And having Derrick Henry in that backfield, that is an automatic 8-box call for your defensive coordinator. We got to have one of them safeties up at the line of scrimmage, which creates one-on-one opportunities on the edges. And if I'm the Cincinnati Bengals defensive coordinator, I'm willing to take my chances with Julio Jones and A.J. Brown beating me. Because you know what? I know that 22 can beat me. If I allow him and Deontay Foreman to run the football, I know that the Tennessee Titans can win that way. Why? Because I've seen it. I've seen it against the Kansas City Chiefs. I've seen it against the Buffalo Bills. I've seen it against the LA Rams. I know it can happen.
That's an uplifting part of the whole.
We've seen it all there. It is uplifting tremendously when you've got a player of that caliber.
Okay, combined that was the remix.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, we remixed that one on the fly here. We've also been asking you guys, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, for which team, which player, which coach has the most to gain in this upcoming postseason now that we're getting the one seeds involved. Let's go to, hey, listen, Gerald in Nashville. Gerald, you're on Kanny and Golic Jr. I have a guess, but who is the team that has the most to gain this postseason?
Of course, it's the Titans. Let's go tighten up. Chris just touched on it. Almost took the thunder out of my call. We've beaten four of the teams. We've beaten half of the final eight this year. So I don't understand no love for the Titans. We beat the Bills. We beat the Chiefs. We beat the 49ers. We beat the Rams. I just don't understand the no love.
Yeah, and Chris, I get that frustration for the Titans fans. We've talked about some of those losses that have polluted our minds from early in the season, the circumstances around who was or wasn't on the field, but even so, we have also seen the Chiefs kind of change the way they do business during the course of the season. We've seen the Bills, when Josh Allen's on, what it allows them to do and unlock, and we've seen it recently, and so we can say, hey, those teams may have struggled back then, but they're playing different football, it would appear, from the outside now. For the Titans, like you said, it has been a very consistent game script through all of this. So keep those calls coming. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 for the player, coach, team, whoever that's got the most to gain in this upcoming postseason. But coming up next, one Hall of Famer, critical of his former team's current quarterback in a way that's actually making people stand up and agree. That's next here, Kanny and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Kanny and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. We'll talk to the 6 p.m. SportsCenter's own Kevin Negandhi coming up in about 10 minutes here. But Chris, the Dallas Cowboys are going to continue to light up everyone's lives because the criticism is pouring in right now, and honestly, it seems like everyone can get it. We'll play you what Troy Aikman had to say about Dak Prescott, who's going to come into the crosshairs in just a second. But I wanted to read you this first, Chris. Mike Gelkin from the Dallas Morning News, covering the Cowboys, tweeted this out. Just a few minutes ago. He said Cowboys coach Mike McCarthy was asked about Sunday's playoff loss to the 49ers. He said, quote, "I have not watched the game in great detail, but when asked about the final play, said it was the right call with at least 13 seconds remaining," and went on to say that Dak Prescott in that situation was coached to give the ball to the center before that final play where they ultimately screwed that up. Chris, you and I have talked about it. People have dissected this every which way. We've seen the clips and highlights of Larry Fitzgerald, who is everyone's shining example in a two-minute drill of how to go about the ball mechanics and all of this. And I have not heard a single other person condone handing it to anyone other than the umpire coming over to spot the football here. So this is another one of those instances where if people were looking for ammunition against Mike McCarthy, he seems willing to give it to him.
Yeah, and it doesn't make sense to still stand behind this because it was the wrong call. It didn't work out. Your team ended up losing the game. So I don't know why you stand by this being the right call if it didn't lead to the results that you were looking for. I guess they're more process-oriented than results-oriented, but try selling that to Jerry Jones, the owner, who's looking for a championship contender before he's lost the window with this current core of players. Like, Mike McCarthy continuing to talk just doesn't make any sense. At this point, it's indefensible what happened to the Dallas Cowboys. You had everything to play for. You were a talented, more talented team top to bottom than the team that you were facing off against, and it came down to coaching errors in the fourth quarter in critical phases of the game. And so I think there's plenty of ammunition to criticize Mike McCarthy, and him continuing to open his mouth, like you said, is only going to fan the flames of this. But as far as the mechanics of that play go, you were coming off of a dead ball. The San Francisco 49ers had called timeout. So if you knew that that was the play that you wanted, then you absolutely should have gone to the umpire before play was resumed, let him know what you were planning on doing so he could be in position, and then once you got down, once you slid, hand him the football, allow him to spot it. Your center and your line are right there ready to go. So as soon as he spots it, you can clock it and have one shot at the end zone. The fact that they didn't do that just leads me to believe that they weren't practicing that, they weren't executing that to prepare for that moment. And so this is all Mike McCarthy, 100%. From the play call to the lack of execution, this all falls at the feet of the head coach. We can blame Kellen Moore. We can blame Dak Prescott. They all had a hand in it. But this is mostly on Mike McCarthy, and this was one of the concerns that I had with him being the Dallas Cowboys coach in a must-win situation over the course of the next 2 or 3 years.
Let's get to the criticisms of Dak Prescott and Kellen Moore, because that's where Hall of Famer Troy Aikman went when he talked to The Ticket in Dallas on 96.7 FM. He was critical of the Cowboys in one particular facet when it came to their quarterback and offensive game plan. Take a listen.
They've mixed in some coverage, but there was a lot of single coverage on CeeDee Lamb. It was back when I was playing, and I hate going back to that point because nobody cares. But what I see around the leagues, not just Dallas, it was in Philadelphia, I've seen it with a lot of teams, that a lot of these offenses, they want to scheme things. The coordinators just, it's all about scheme. Rather than, this corner is playing soft, he's scared to death, just run the route tree. Irvin would have had 10 catches at halftime if they had played us the way that they played CeeDee Lamb. The game's not that difficult. If I've got a great player at wide receiver and a corner is playing him single coverage, throw him the ball. Yeah. You know, he's going to win most of the time.
And Chris, I think the frustrating part about that for a lot of people is, one, he's right, because we're going to see that on display this coming week when the Niners play the Green Bay Packers, because ain't nobody in football better than throwing that easy pass right by the line of scrimmage to their star receiver in Devontae Adams and letting him turn that into a pseudo 5-yard run. That is going to haunt a lot of Cowboys fans for a while, I'd imagine.
It should. You're talking about the most important game of the season, and you're not getting your best skill position player the ball. That doesn't make any sense. When you have favorable looks, your quarterback goes with those side adjustments at the line of scrimmage. You raise up and throw the ball to number 88 because you know special things happen when it gets in his hands. He's a threat to break it from anywhere on the field. So the fact that he didn't get more touches, that he didn't have more opportunities to put his imprint on the game, That falls at the feet of the offensive coordinator and on Dak Prescott because he has some control of that in real time at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, those are built-in parts of the offensive scheme in so many people's modern playbooks. The fact that it wasn't for the Cowboys going to continue to draw criticism. Coming up next, though, let's look at a team in their division and what they may do in the upcoming draft at quarterback next.
Thanks for listening to Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast. You can check the guys out live weekday afternoons at 4 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN+.